This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
You know, there is no way that this can be measured, that you would come away and say this was a great season for the football Tigers.
Agreed.
It's not a great season.
Agreed.
And I do stop short of saying a step back, because it doesn't necessarily have to be that. I will say 6-6, bowl eligible, but no, it's a step back from where you've been. But let's say this too. You went into this season thinking that Grant Goodell was going to be the starter. Right, you get Keelan Brown leaves at one point. You're down to a true freshman. Memphis football has never been in that position before, where you're starting a true freshman game one. And what does he do? John gave us the stats. Goes out and throws for 3,300 yards, 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. It could have been a lot worse, is the point. But I'm not giving a respect burger to Memphis football per se. I'm giving it to a few individuals.
Thank
like
you for doing that.
Seth Hennigan.
Yes.
I got to hand it to him.
Respect.
I mean, John and I had a heated argument earlier this year. John was ready to crown him after what, Arkansas State?
It was after the first game.
Pretty early.
It was after the first game.
And me, knowing that Tevin Carter's coming in here, what at that point, is Tevin Carter still the highest ranked recruit they've ever had?
I mean, I got to do the math. I mean, I'm sure he's up there, though.
We had a heated debate about whether you hand it over to Seth Hennigan or you have a competition with Tevin Carter coming in here. Based on what Seth has done, it would be smart of Ryan Silverfield to say, you are my guy going forward. And we know he's probably going to have to say that, because there are going to be other schools, probably some Power 5 schools, that look at Seth Hennigan and those 3,300 yards and those 25 touchdowns and just 8 interceptions and say, come do that for me and my system. So Ryan probably the only play he's going to have is to do that. But Seth Hennigan has earned it with his poise this season. The fact that he's thrown for 6 300-yard passing games, again, true freshman, and having done this with no running game to fall back on, an offensive line that's had all kinds of injuries, pretty impressive from the freshman. And just some other guys that I thought from that team this year deserve a respect burger, because there's plenty to criticize with that coaching staff and everything else. The step back they took on defense this season, yes, played better since Navy, but overall it was a major step back. Last year, John, they were 52nd in defense. This year, 80th. Okay, now, with players they had in Mike McIntyre's second season, there shouldn't have been that step back. But individually, Seth Hennigan, respect burger. Calvin Austin, how could you not give him a respect burger? Man played hurt.
Yes, he did.
I know he's going on, moving on, hopefully going to have a nice NFL career, but you got to give him one. Sean Dykes, to me, is a guy who I think has been fantastic for them at the tight end position.
Unsung in a lot of ways, right?
Unsung in a lot of ways, sort of what I was getting at. So Sean Dykes, a guy that I think deserves a respect burger. These guys never let go of the rope in a season where it got really ugly. J.J. Russell on a defense that underachieved. Dude was always making plays, had 10 tackles in the Tulane game. Quindell Johnson. All I ever saw dude come up and occasionally – but he would come up and tag people all season long out of that secondary. Had 9 stops, a pick, and a pass breakup in a game you had to win to be bowl eligible against Tulane. So I don't want to leave anybody out individually, because there's some other guys that didn't let go of the rope. But those guys on most weekends were standing out to me, and I think are highly deserving that. While as a unit, no, nobody's sitting here celebrating 6-6. But there were some great individual performances in a year where you had a lot of holes, some of them injury, some of it brought on by yourself, bad decisions Why didn't you play more aggressive defensively early on this season, John?
Why did they wait
till the Navy game to get, you know, start putting pressure on the quarterback, start getting after it? Because I would tell you that you had the players to play aggressively from the get-go.
I agree.
But that said, again, with Calvin Austin, Seth Hennigan, Sean Dykes, those guys, J.J. Russell, Quindell Johnson, Dylan Parham probably deserved one too.
Yeah.
On that offensive line. You guys get respect, Burgers. And like we said, still got to be some changes made. Defensively, the only teams that were, you know, worse than you in conference, ECU, Tulane, Navy, there's just no – a Temple team you lost to, there's just no excuse for that. You've got to get things shored up on that side. Should have been better there. But respect to those individual performers. And I'm glad we're going back here. So for respect burger number two,
respect.
I'm giving it to Nike. And hopefully we've got the audio up. But for Nike and their centering around Ja Morant national campaign, we saw the commercial while we were gone. We just talked about it in the Grizzlies portion of our rundown segment. But for those of you that haven't seen it, and again, just hearing it won't do it complete justice. You won't, because there's plenty of images of Memphis you'll love. But you can get a sweet sense of how nice a thing this was for not just Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, but for the city as well.
You can't keep jumping that high, man.
Sass fool.
Can't keep training on flat top. You know what I'm saying? Right there.
Says who?
Can't make posters off Miss Dunks.
Says who?
You can't put a small city on the map.
Says who?
You can't win a title.
Says who?
Yeah, says who?
What an incredible performance from you tonight, John.
People are saying you can't keep this up.
Clears for Timbo. What a
job. Oh, yeah.
Says who?
Kind of nice.
Great. Love it.
Really is.
Good job. Good job, Nike.
From everything, from the music to the images that they used, to the way it was done, to the slogan itself, really well done by Nike. Now, as Moneybag Yo in that thing, was that T. Morant cutting a head?
Yes.
Okay.
He was in that other barber chair.
Who was the boy's head that he's cutting?
I have no idea.
Okay, okay. And then the twins. Explain the – I didn't – did y'all notice the twins?
With Vegas jerseys on.
The significance of that, I still would – hopefully before we get off the show, someone can let us know. Lots of folks are tweeting it at us. But the significance of them. Saw T. Morant. Saw, obviously, Moneybag Yo in that thing. And, again, yeah. To have Memphis on that national map because of Ja Morant, just appreciate Nike and everybody putting that together. That was a nice little goosebumps feeling while we were gone, seeing Ja Morant on the national campaign with Nike. Figured that was coming. They're smart to do it. All right, next respect burger. There was a rapper, female rapper back in the day, named Trina. John, do you remember her?
Yeah, Bad B, dog.
Mm-hmm. And every time that we would see or hear Trina, it would be, there was a this scream of sort of, when you see Trina come out on the stage, it was for all of us that love Trina, was, Trina!
Well,
you get it?
Yeah.
She's out on stage and you're losing your mind because it's Trina and she's a bad,
I don't think, John says, she's doing her thing. I don't think we all had that.
She was sort of Megan Thee Stallion before Megan Thee Stallion. I mean, she kind of was that.
I understand what I'm saying? She wasn't as big as Megan Thee Stallion.
No, she wasn't, but you better believe Megan Thee Stallion has a lot to, she owes a lot to Trina, you understand what I'm saying?
I don't know about all that. I think that is...
If there had never been no Trina, there is no Megan Thee Stallion. It's all got to start somewhere.
Trina...
The shoulders of giants, brother.
I know, but that's a little bit of a reach. Go ahead.
Well, the only reason I bring up my reaction, our old reaction to Trina, was because that's sort of what I say now when I see every win that Katrina Meriwether is rolling up over with the Lady Tigers basketball team. The women's basketball team, John.
We got there. I knew Trina. We would get there.
Trina got that thing turned around, man.
Let's go.
It didn't take much. Just a little spit and some effort. They cleaned that thing up, John.
Love it.
They are now beating.
Well, to that point, I think she obviously owes a lot to Melissa for laying the foundation.
Oh, she don't owe a damn thing to
dare.
Melissa. But a thank you very much. See your ass later. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. But for Memphis finally coming to its senses, I can't explain how excited I am that this is happening. and it's not getting enough. John, it's not
excited.
It isn't getting enough attention. This 6-1 Memphis women's team. Can we still? I don't think you're supposed to call them Lady Tigers anymore.
Okay.
But we used to when they were. We used to when they were good.
Yeah.
And Melissa's the one told us to stop with it.
Yeah.
All right. Well. It's the Memphis women's team. Give them all the respect.
Yes, sir.
And they just knocked off Penn to cap off the Thanksgiving Classic they
were
in.
Impressive.
Yes. Team's third win this week. Fourth consecutive win.
Liberty had a nice Liberty team there. They beat.
Knocked off Liberty. They're now 6-1. Their next one's Tuscaloosa to face the Crimson Tide on Tuesday. How about that? How about them apples?
Yeah.
I'm so in love with Trina Merriweather. She's fantastic, John. She's got this thing looking really good early on here.
I'm so happy. I am. I think it's great. I think it's good to look over there and see that there's the competent program. And, you know, we've made many jokes in the past just because, it's kind of fun. But no question about it that it really just was about a change, you know, and that's all it took. And
why did it take so long?
I think there was some
guys like you didn't care.
No, I think Melissa had some stuff, bro. I think Melissa had some stuff on that athletic department, coach. Mm. I mean, they were like, you know, people joke all the time, like, A-Lo must have something on Penny. Melissa actually had something on the University of Memphis, though. Like, there's like some stuff going on there.
Perhaps. That era is done, thankfully.
We've moved on, Jason.
And Trina has got this thing, Coach Merriweather. She's my coach. Y'all might not want to call her coach. I call her coach.
No, she's
got
coach.
Them folks 6-1 on that side. And who knows how far this thing could go.
Yeah.
John, maybe perhaps you become a power in the AAC with UConn gone. Why not?
Who goes further this year?
Don't do it. Don't do that.
They don't turn the ball over.
Don't.
Do they? Like, they probably take care of the ball.
Maybe she could help Larry and those guys get some tips over there.
I mean, just send the men over there to practice with Trina. Coach Trina, let them get a sense of, you know, what it means to take care of the ball.
I cannot believe that you don't give Trina the credit, the rapping Trina the credit she deserves.
She cool, man.
Again, you don't have a Megan the OGs
see,
like Trina back in the day.
I attribute that more like Lil' Kim.
Roxanne.
Like Lil' Kim, you know what I mean? Lil' Kim's above.
She's OG for that.
Lil' Kim's back above in the day, Trina.
Oh, Lil' Kim, probably, yeah, lyrically especially, back in the day, when she was with Big.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I put Trina above, like, Remy Ma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put Trina above Remy Ma, but let's not
Remy's
sit here.
Remy's respected up there in the Northeast, though, as you know.
But let's not sit up here and act like Trina's on, like, the Mount Rushmore, like, female rapper. She's just not. She's not.
Oh, bro, Trina was a show.
Trina was a show.
It was
for
more
you.
Than just the lyrics.
Right. I mean, I think Missy Elliott would be ahead of.
We better move on. It's important because of who the next Respect Burger is going on that we get off of this topic in particular.
Okay.
Next Respect Burger.
Respect.
It's for my wife.
Okay, wow. Hey, Faith.
So we heard about your time in New York.
Yes.
Let me tell you what Faith did for me, because you remember for her birthday last year, we did it up Peabody, right? Presidential.
During COVID,
you did
no
it.
Less.
You did it right, man.
We did it right, right? So she apparently has been feeling the need to sort of pay back ever since then.
It's been weighing on her.
Exactly.
Like an anchor.
So while we were in Chicago, my lovely wife, took me to the Chicago River. Now, it was a very cold evening down in the 20s. She took me to the Chicago River to a seafood place called RPM, where we dined on the river in a little sort of like hut-type, closet-type thing that they built outside.
Oh, wow.
But has its own heater.
Oh, yeah.
So you get to sit by the river and get the view, even though it's cold night. You're inside this thing. Now, every damn time the server comes into your little hut, That Chicago air,
breeze.
That 20 is coming in there.
It sucks.
But as long as that door was closed, you had that heater. Man, we ate so good, thanks to my wife.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Bro, the most romantic evening we've ever had. It was because of her, not me. That says a lot about where
good
my
job,
romance
man.
Level is. I need to level up
your romance
on that
is just
side.
Absolutely.
That the most romantic evening we've ever had was all her doing. But it was a fantastic show. Again, RPM, fantastic service, as you would expect at a place like that. But the food was fantastic. Your boy got a little surf and turf action.
Ooh.
Yes, it was very nice. And I have nothing but my wife to thank, because she took care of the whole thing.
That's
y'all know
great.
How the server comes in that situation. You spend a nice little amount on dinner, and his thing is to hand that over to the man, right, typically. A lot of servers are going to do that. Now, some, they're just going to, in today, 2001, just slide to the middle of the table. Boy, he kind of slid it my way, expecting, right? Nope. Wifey
took
care of everything.
She took care of business.
From the tip all the way down to the valet parking.
Ooh.
How about that? So Respect Burger to my lovely wife, Faith, for
Absolutely. Whining
and dining me
respect.
Up in Chicago on the river.
She's the real baddest. You know what I'm saying?
Like for Trina,
says who, fool?
I'm just saying that's what every, you know.
Says who?
The consensus.
Not you can't say that, fool.
I didn't say that. Was from the consensus. That was the consensus.
She's a bad woman for taking care of that dinner. I ran it up on her.
Yeah. Which
and
you,
that's
you typically will do.
No alcohol, all food. Moving over $500.
Damn.
Woo!
Damn, bro.
Dude, that's high
and
class.
That's why I'm giving her this respect. Where not you all usually have people in your finances, but that's now
no,
y'all see why I'm giving her this
next level.
Exactly.
That's next level.
Did they
that's
like? Did they catch the surf
caught?
Out in front of you?
No.
Okay.
No,
yeah,
they had like 60 day aged steak.
Okay.
Then when you put
yeah.
that with the
Wagyu?
Lobster, yeah, with the what you call
it? Was it Wagyu or whatever?
What is Wagyu?
Well,
Wagyu
you got,
beef?
You got
high-end cattle.
It's a 60 day age porterhouse that you also can have with your either crab or with the lobster. I did it with the lobster.
Oh, that's delicious.
That's a meal right there, brother.
Yeah, I brought all that food home, too.
Oh, you brought it home? You had it on a box?
I had that thing on the plane. The lobster basically crawling on the plane.
You took it on the plane?
Yes, basically still alive, fool, because we spent all that food. I'm eating all of it, every last bit of it.
You took it on the plane?
Yes, all the to-go box. Yes, we took it on the plane, fool. Why can't you understand that?
You're disgusting.
You're not going to spend that much money and not eat every ounce of it. And because I was still kind of cold, because the dude keeps coming in over and over, I'm like, no, I'm going to take the rest of this with us. Because my wife spent so much, I'm going to eat all of it. Back in Memphis, I'm gonna finish it off. Yeah, we brought that lobster all the way home.
When did you go?
We went Thursday, got back on Saturday.
And you still haven't eaten it yet?
The lobster?
Yeah.
No, it's still in the fridge. Okay. Joker looked like it's in there, still alive in the box.
Well, I can promise you, it's not now.
Oh no, that bottom is slit open, bro. I've already taken pieces out of him and whatnot.
That lobster has traveled quite a bit.
Yeah, you know? But always from Chicago.
Probably found him in Maine to Chicago, Chicago to Memphis.
You don't seem like you're a big lobster guy. You're acting like this is disgusting.
I've never considered taking leftovers on a plane. That just seems disgusting.
Again, this was a high-priced dinner. You're going to take it all. Make sure I eat every bit of it. You understand?
Well, just eat it there.
I couldn't.
Yeah, you can.
No, I got full and I was cold. Why can't you understand that?
When did your flight leave? When did you come back?
The next day at night.
You had a whole day to eat it the next day.
Dude, we're in Chicago. We had Portillo's. We had deep dish fish. I'm eating the whole time. I didn't eat that the next day.
So I'm
eat it back at home. It's not disgusting.
You're disgusting.
Did you get that Portillo's dog? That hot dog with all the stuff on it?
We get Italian beef. Or you do the combination that's got the sausage and the
delicious.
Italian beef on the same sandwich.
Very good.
There is nothing like Chicago eating. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, you got that right.
You go crazy just at Portillo's alone.
Yep.
You brought some of that back, too. John would say
that.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, don't bring leftovers on a plane, bro. All right, just leave them wherever the hell
just
they are.
I brought home a disrespect dog, and you need to give
Portillo's.
It out.
We're going to give it to Oklahoma fans.
Who are
acting like they've never been a part of a coaching change.
Well, they kind of haven't. Somebody leaving them. They kind of haven't been in this situation.
Well, fine.
This is going to be tough.
Parker Toon, I guess that's how you say his name, covers the Sooners for 247, and he tweeted this crap last night, and I saw it. I was like, I got to put this in the disrespect dog segment from Portillo's. Lincoln Riley looked a lot of recruits in the eye this past year and told them he wasn't going anywhere, that he was the Sooners head coach for the long haul. Those kids that took him at his words are hurting today. Bro, shut your ass up. Because you know what? Y'all are about to get a coach who's doing the same damn thing right now as we speak, who is looking those kids in the eye and saying, I'm not going anywhere. This is the business. Like, stop. Get out your feelings, man. Get out your feelings.
Who is that? Matt Campbell? Who's that coach that's telling him right now he's not leaving? Who does Oklahoma call?
Good question.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the next question for them.
Lane. Just call Lane. You know, would Lane leave Ole Miss for Oklahoma?
Why?
No.
Right.
You're already where
you're already
Oklahoma's
in the SEC.
Coming to.
Nah.
I was surprised that Florida moved as quickly as they did. You know?
Did you like the hire?
Napier?
I would have liked Lane more. Yeah, you know?
I don't think he's bouncing.
He might not be now. I don't know what LSU's doing. Are they hiring James Franklin? What's the latest?
They talking about Judge or whatever. That dude, they were trying to think about him.
What's your latest on the your LSU sources?
I don't have any damn LSU sources. Hell, you
NFL
talking
coach,
about?
Maybe?
Well, get your head out of your ass and make some calls, man.
I'll tell you who it's not. The guys we mentioned. It's not
Mel Tucker.
Nope.
They gave him $95 million for some reason.
And if Kiffin's holding you over a barrel.
Right. You seen Lane on Twitter yesterday?
Then you could probably look
trolling.
In another direction.
He's trolling, taking pictures at Louisiana plates. He's great.
Is he,
we know Woodward wants to make a big splash, though, so it would make sense that you're holding out, hoping that you can get Lane to change his mind.
He also
because that's big splash.
He tweeted a picture of the Caesars Superdome, man. Lane Kiffin did.
I like it. Now,
it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I don't think there's anybody Oklahoma can hire to make them happy right now that's available.
Well, they got to get out their damn
thing. They're going to go get Stoops' brother.
Yeah,
from Kentucky. That feels like dog crap.
And he has never been the sort of offensive mind that they want. They want big-time quarterback. They want
points. I think you should be suspended.
But Bob going to get Mark hired, is he not?
Bob had a bad year.
Mark hired, is he not?
I think, but I have a hard time looking you in the eye right now. I really do. I think what you did on the with the whole leftovers on a – like, that, you had the box in your hand, or you checked that, or what?
No. That's carry-on, fool.
Yeah. Disgusting. I think you should be suspended without pay. For that decision,
what are you talking about? This dude doesn't do. You don't do a takeout.
Not on a plane. Not on a plane. Anyway, we got to take a break, man. We'll be dealing with you over the break. Jason Fitz going to join us when we come back. Stick around, Jason and John. 92.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
NFM ESPN. Jason Fitz does it all for ESPN. He's on Twitter at Jason Fitz. He joins us every Monday, and he joins us. Now, Fitz, how was everything during your holiday, man? Appreciate the time as always.
Man, you know what? I'm lucky and got a good life, man. I can't complain at all, and I think the holidays are incredibly difficult for a lot of people. So I'm just thankful that you know, I'm able to be surrounded by people I love and be able to eat food and laugh and love. So
Amen.
As cliche and cheesy as it sounds, man, like, I don't know. I always tell everybody, I said this on Twitter on Thanksgiving Day, but I would just implore everybody listening around the holidays, reach out to the people that you think might be struggling because it could really help you.
Absolutely.
Amen to that, brother.
You know, and some of us are lucky enough to have access to Woodson whiskey.
Not
everybody on this call is so lucky.
Let me tell you something, too. Like, I bought a couple of bottles of that when it first came out. It's possible to get. And they've tweeted me a couple of times and said, we need to send you some. And I'm sitting here thinking, you're darn right you do, because when I take a shot of Woodson Whiskey, the Raiders undefeated this year.
Wow.
So, obviously, I am the difference.
That is awesome. Well, do us a favor. Send a couple of those to Norman, because they need some. They need some today as Lincoln Riley is headed to USC. You know, for Lincoln Riley, I mean, this just makes sense, right? I mean, Oklahoma's going to the SEC, and we know that's a meat grinder, and it's a different beast when you go from the Big 12 to the SEC. Do you think that's what motivated this more than anything, the fact that Oklahoma is joining the SEC?
No, but I think it's a portion of it. So let me kind of break it down this way. In my mind, you know, what we forget about is that in today's market, A, coaches are human beings, and B, they can get paid anywhere. And I've had this debate with Mike Golic Jr. a few times because I think we, as a media and as fans, look at certain SEC jobs, for example, and say, oh, my God, that's the premier job. Well, I'd ask you, like, I mean, I know Les Miles was out of touch by the end of his time at LSU, but you're talking about somebody that won 86% of his games. Coach O just won a national championship, and he's gone. So, like, the pressure cooker that is the SEC and boosters at the SEC is real, and it's different in California. Like, there's no two ways about it. So if you're sitting down with your family and you say, hey, guys, we can make equal or more money, we can live out in the beautiful weather of California where we'll be rock stars to the people that care about the program, but at the other side of it, like, if we lose a bunch of games, they're incredibly patient. Look at how bad Clay Helton was for how long before they did anything about it. It's an easy area to recruit to if you're Lincoln Riley. Your quality of life, like, you don't have to worry about going to the local Chili's and what the boosters are going to say to your family. Like, I think there's a million variables that make USC so appealing if you're a coach, because nowadays you can make $95 million being in Michigan State or anywhere else. So, like, the money is no longer the money, and the shine and the prestige can come anywhere now in college football.
If you are Oklahoma, and we know you're already losing recruits, what stops the bleeding? What's the approach? Where do you look?
Number one, I'm going for a brand. Mm-hmm. At this point, if I'm Oklahoma, knowing I'm going into the SEC, I'm looking for a coach that comes in with immediate name recognition that everybody says, okay, so I'll back up a Brinks truck to Luke Fickell because everybody knows he's a hot name and everybody wants to try and get him. But I don't think if I'm Luke Fickell, I don't think I need that in my life, right? So, you know, I'd back up the Brinks to him. I'd back up the Brinks to Cliff Kingsbury and see if he wants to leave the NFL lifestyle and come be a rock star at college football. Like, anybody I can get that I don't have to have an introductory press conference to explain their resume is who I need at Oklahoma right now.
Let's go down that road, because I'm curious to how you think, what you think he's thinking. Cliff Kingsbury, good move or no? Would that be a smart move for him?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the thing of it is, I always remember Herm years ago. So back when I was still with the band, I was playing this corporate event, and Herm Edwards was the speaker at the corporate event. He was doing this great, he has this great motivational speech he gives to companies that basically is like, you know, Tom Brady can't be Tom Brady unless you have the offensive lineman in front of him to be the offensive lineman. You got to make him feel valued. Like, great speech from a coach perspective. And I was just sitting back talking to him at the time about my Raiders fandom, just a musician on the road. And he laughed at me and he said, you know, the problem with the Raiders will never be their coach. It's a quarterback. Because when you have a quarterback, you're a really good coach. And when you don't have a quarterback, you're not. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple at the NFL level. I keep looking at Cliff Kingsbury and I'm thinking, you've got an MVP caliber quarterback that's playing so well in your offense. And you're in a system in Arizona that's kind of like USC. Like, I mean, okay, we all understand the pressures that come with being the coach of even the 49ers at this point, but is it the same for the Cardinals? Like, you can have a pretty good team for a long time and yep. have a great life. So if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm laughing at the overture from Oklahoma. I don't need that pressure in my life. I don't need to be back in the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365 grind of college football either.
Exactly.
We're talking to Jason Fitz, joins every single Monday here on the show. Is there a place for Lane Kiffin to go? Is it LSU? I thought Lane would be – you know, a candidate of Florida. They moved pretty fast. For various reasons, we know USC was off the table. But do you think there's a place in this coaching carousel for Lane Kiffin to land, or is Ole Miss going to get a chance to keep him?
I think Ole Miss might get a chance to keep him because it's such a weird fit in certain places. Like, Lane is not without his controversies in his past, and he's not without his controversies in the way he's come and go from programs. I don't know if that's the best situation for LSU right now. I still maintain that LSU got out early to get ahead of trying to bring Joe Brady back. And now that the Panthers are week in and week out in the NFL, whether or not they're any good, and they don't have a quarterback long-term, that I think as much as we like the story of Cam back, it's not like you can look at the Panthers and say, yeah, well, you're coaching this rookie phenom quarterback that's going to be the next great thing for the next 20 years. So, you know, I think Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator that was the passing coordinator for LSU, is still the guy they're going to overpay to bring in, with little to no proof of concept. And it is funny to me because Lane would be a candidate for USC if it wasn't his past there. Lane would be a candidate, you know, for all the rumors of Josh Heupel, you know, getting up to Oklahoma. Well, Tennessee would look straight at Lane Kiffin if it weren't for their past with Lane Kiffin. So, like, it's funny, the old adage of don't burn any bridges, that's all Lane has ever done. And now it may limit his opportunities in an offseason that could have absolute chaos. I believe that unqualified coaches are going to get opportunities they're not ready for yet, simply because there are more big-name openings than they're going to be like. We haven't even talked about the fact that Miami may come open. We'll see what Florida State wants to do with Norvell, who I think deserves more time. But mm-hmm. boosters down there I've talked to are impatient. So you can start talking about the number of high-profile blue-blood jobs that are just going to be sitting there. I mean, and again, if Mel Tucker's worth $95 million to Michigan State, what's Luke Fickell worth to a major program? I mean, what's Nick Saban's actual value? And if you want to be a coach in Florida State, I mean, are you coming in and saying, okay, $100 million buys my services? Like, the game has changed in the last 2 weeks because of those paychecks.
You know, based on what we've seen thus far this season, is anything keeping Georgia from – I mean, and obviously anything can happen, but – you look around, and I used to think it was Alabama, but that team, you know, is struggling at certain points. Is anything stopping Georgia from stomping its way to a national championship this season?
No. Guys, every week I watch and I think this is the week Georgia's going to Georgia. They're going to show their weaknesses. And, you know, I until this season, I've worked with my buddy Trevor Scales at ESPN for years, and he now works for Valley Sports down in Atlanta. And it's funny because he's working in the area he grew up in. And I've spent years watching football with him on Saturdays in the conference room while we get ready for our shows. And I text him every Saturday, and I'm like, how you feeling? And every – it doesn't matter who they're playing. He's like, nervous, you know, I'm just waiting for that one week. But this team, I genuinely believe we're going to be having the same conversation about this defense in 10 years that all of us have longingly about those old Hurricane defenses, right? Like, there's NFL talent across the board, and you're looking at 7 or 8 guys that are going to end up being first-round picks on the defensive side of the ball. Like, I don't know that we've ever seen a collection of this much defensive talent in modern, like in the last 10 years, right? So, you know, I'm looking at that saying this is a Georgia defense no offense is going to be able to consistently go after. So I thought the one team that might be a matchup issue for them would be Ohio State because they have so many good wide receivers. Yeah. And then Ohio State went out there and just got shell-shocked. And I was listening to the local broadcast, the Ohio State broadcast of it, for a little bit, and they were talking about how on the sidelines the offense wasn't even looking at each other. They were just staring off into space with this what the hell is happening look. And so, you know, I think that took away the one team that was a matchup issue for Georgia. They're going to win it all.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. Joins us every single Monday here on the show. Moving on to the NFL, can you buy the Patriots as a Super Bowl contender?
No. And, you know, and I want to. I do just because, like, at this point, for me as a fan, I look at it very simply. If the Raiders aren't going to be in it, then give me the thing that's going to give me the most to talk about, you know, and I don't think the Raiders are a Super Bowl contender. So, you know, I look at it and say, as much as I hate the scenario, but Brady versus, you know, Belichick for the Super Bowl would be interesting, at least. We'd have something to talk about. But the thing of it is, with Mac Jones, I keep talking to different guys that I trust a lot, and the number of them that will say, hey, Mac Jones is playing really efficient, but he's only being asked to do this much. And I really thought maybe the Titans would press him to do more, but the Titans continued to be who the Titans are. Like, they're maddeningly inconsistent. And we've forgiven some of those offensive inconsistencies over the last few weeks because of Derrick Henry. But on a Sunday where they still ran the football well, they were clearly outmanned by the Patriots. So I'm looking at the Patriots and saying, wow, their defense is just playing so well, and their offense is opportunistic, and it's Belichick. And because of those things, we want to make them a great football team. I think they're just like the Ravens. When they're on, they're pretty good. And when they're not, they're not, and I wouldn't trust either of them all the way. I'd still trust Kansas City more than either of those teams.
Packers or Buccaneers, which one of those teams do you trust more?
Yeah, the Packers are playing better, you know, and that's say. I mean, I realize I'm saying that a week after, you know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't necessarily the best version of Aaron Rodgers, but Matt LaFleur is somebody that I didn't love as the head coach coming over, and I've been wrong about. I mean, his ability to manufacture yards, I think is pretty impressive, and so. You know, I keep looking at the Bucs as a team that, you know, I was surprised that the Colts lost that game. I had picked the Colts in that game, and I really felt good about it all the way down to the end. And the Colts found a way to lose. But we've seen enough cracks in the armor of Tampa Bay that I'm not as high on the Bucs as a lot of guys are.
Well, Colts' problem in that game, they went away from Jonathan Taylor, right? What's been working for them? Wasn't that it?
Well, and what point are we going to start looking at Frank Reich and saying, excuse me, like, hey, I know everybody loves you, and I know everybody's, like, you're really popular, and everybody loves your aggressiveness, and everybody seems to dig the guy, Frank Reich, and we all love the, you know, for some reason, I feel like former quarterbacks that were, you know, part-time quarterbacks that had a little success in the league but not a ton get more benefit of the doubt as coaches. I have no idea why, but, I mean, the offensive game plan has been hot garbage at times for the Colts this year, and I still think they're underperforming for the amount of talent they have. I'm looking at Reich saying, man, I don't know what you guys were doing at the end of the game, but you definitely weren't. Like, if I was a Colts fan, I would be mad as hell still today that they found a way to lose that football game.
On the other side of that, the Rams in the first 4 to 5, maybe 6 games of the season look like world beaters. Like, they, you know, Matt Stafford was reinvigorated, finally got out of Detroit, and he looks, you know, he's thriving, right? And now, you know, they're 0-3 since they traded for Von Miller. Yep. Odell Beckham has clearly ruined the team. What is the problem, and do you think it can be fixed?
So I think there's two problems that are major for the Rams. Number one is they don't have Staley. And, you know, I almost laughed at myself for saying this early in the year, but I think people are right. You know, we forget how important coordinators are. And when you look at that Rams defense before they had Brandon Staley as their defensive coordinator, the defense was okay. And then he came in and they were a top 2-3 defense every single year that he was there. Now he leaves for the Chargers. They're okay again. So scheme matters. And it feels like the way they're playing right now is not as – they're not playing with the same level of, I don't know, reckless aggression is the best way for me to put it in my mind. Like, I don't see the same explosion out of the defensive side of the ball for them. And when you are a risk-taking defense, which they've always been, but you're doing it with a little less explosiveness, now you're giving up more plays. Like, that's just that seems simple watching it. So I think there's a lack of sort of just pin your ears back, don't think and do on the defensive side of the ball that hurts the Rams. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I do think that there is something to, while I'm not going to say Odell Beckham Jr. ruins the team, I will say that when you have a bunch of mouths to feed, sometimes that's great, and sometimes, man, I'll go back to a basketball analogy, but like sometimes it's great when you got five guys that are all averaging in double digits. But man, when you just need a set group of plays, sometimes you need a superstar that can do those. And you know, this is an offense that has enough firepower when you look at all of the players, but I don't know that they have enough rhythm and understanding. Okay, it's 3rd and 6. I got a guy that I've got to feed the ball to. Who is that guy? And when you've got a bunch of guys that can sort of be that guy, I still think at the end of it all, you kind of need your Michael Jordan every once in a while. And I don't think this year they've really done a good job of asserting who that guy is in that play. So it feels like they've become too much of a buffet. And, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes you need a steakhouse.
And then if you were a Cleveland, Fitzy, you know, you're coming off now a 16-10 loss to Baltimore on a night that what Lamar gave you 4 picks, and you could still only muster – the 10 points. I know they've got a decision coming, obviously, with Baker and the money. How much longer, I mean, are you convinced that, okay, he can be the guy? How much longer, if you're Cleveland, do you drive down the Baker Mayfield road?
I look, unless Baker Mayfield's camp has an understanding of who Baker Mayfield is, I'm not sure you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Baker's camp is looking at it and saying, hey, we get it. Like, yeah, we're not a top 5 quarterback over here, so let's just work out something that's fair to both sides. That's just rarely happens. I mean, you only need one team that feels like they can be the savior of the talent to Baker Mayfield, and all of a sudden his team's going to drive the value up. So the thing that will, I think, hurt this Baker Mayfield conversation is the fact that, like, I'm just being honest, there is not a single quarterback in this year's NFL draft that I would bank my franchise on. Not a single one of them. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't take a flyer. If you're a really talented team and you want to see if Matt Corral can turn into that guy, cool. But is there a single guy that I would actually bank my franchise on? Kenny Pickett ain't it. Like, I'm not doing cartwheels for any of these guys coming out. So if I'm the Browns, the one thing that I got to remember is that if not Baker, then who, right? So I think the Baker thing is going to go on for at least another year while they figure out what to do. But they've got to figure out everything else. And I don't know that everything else can really solve it. So now you're looking at it at the Browns and saying, can somebody else stupidly fall in love with the quarterback where we can just start trading all of the equity we possibly can to get a quarterback that might be out there? Like, if I'm the Browns, I'm going all in. What's it take to get Russ? You know, what's it take to get somebody to come in that I know? Because I'm just telling you now, y'all, if somebody trades draft equity to move up in the draft, I don't care if it works or if it doesn't work. It's stupid. There is nothing here with proof of concept on the quarterback position in the first round of the draft that's worth banking your franchise on.
And then last thing, Fitz, unfortunately, just a couple of days after it aired, he ended up spraining his left knee, and he's now going to miss a few weeks at least. But, you know, John Morant became the first Memphis Grizzlies player to have his own commercial built entirely around him, you know, that aired and debuted, and you're seeing it pretty much everywhere. What does that mean? What does that mean to Memphis? What does that mean to the franchise? What does it mean to John Morant to have a Nike commercial built entirely around him?
I think you're looking at one of the guys for the next generation. And I think in saying that, I'm not talking about you're looking at, we've got a guy. You're looking at one of the guys, one of the superstars of the NBA. And I will tell everybody right now that watches ESPN coverage, I remember going into the draft. I remember because we talked, and you know, I come on this station all the time, and because of that, I have a lot of love for you guys. I have a lot of love for Memphis. You guys know that. So I remember going into that draft, asking every single expert. I was doing the morning show at the time. You know, what about Ja? And there are two guys, Kendrick Perkins and Sean Farnham are the two guys that I sat on radio with on different days that said, I think Jaw's going to end up being better than Zion. There are two guys. Those, and now a lot of guys are trying to take that logic. I remember only two that ever had it. But at the time, Sean Farnham said to me, and I remember it so clearly, he looked at me and he's like, look, Zion is not just good. He's the sort of guy that the league will build around. And that's what you're seeing. When you see the level of commercial, when you see the level of fame, the clock is ticking for Memphis, and we all know that. Like, you got to make sure that you are creating the environment that Ja wants. You're going to have to make sure that Ja is happy. You want to make sure that you don't have an AD situation in New Orleans. So there's obviously organizational pressure comes with it, but the Memphis Grizzlies will never get more shine. They're going to get in the next 3 or 4 years with the growth of what we're seeing from Ja. So now it becomes up to the team to take advantage of it, because now Ja's the type of person that we're literally running SportsCenter on Snapchat highlight packages for when he's played. Like, it's like it went from a what happened tonight. It went from that to sitting in a conference room and saying, hey, Ja's playing, so let's keep an eye on the Memphis game. Like, that's real. So the level of attention that's going to come to Memphis is absolutely incredible. It gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Now they got to take advantage of it. That's going to be the different level of pressure that not everybody's used to.
Fitch, you're the best, man. Appreciate the time, as always.
You guys are the best. Happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate you.
Yep, he is. Jason Fitz joins us every single Monday here on the show. Yeah, it was a great, great spot. Obviously, we were both traveling when that debuted, but you know, that was history. History was made by Ja Morant being featured in that commercial. I thought it was really well done too. It felt like it captured Memphis pretty well, Jason.
No, that's why I gave it the respect burger, John. Nike recognizing the phenom that is Ja Morant. It's what we've all said. It's good that Fitzy agrees with us. He's the next generation.
Yeah.
Everybody's recognized it already. It's not just us here in Memphis, so it's good to see.
Were you not available to appear in the commercial? Were you busy that day?
No, I couldn't be in it.
Okay. Because you would have had to sign your life away again, and you learned your lesson from
you the already know. Yeah. You already know. Not doing like Imani and Jalen, you know what I'm saying? I'm not ready to sign yet, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right, for potential opportunities what that value down be. The line. Yeah.
I learned. Let's say I learned my lesson from undefeated.
I think that was a mistake on your part, but, you know, there'll be other opportunities. That's the great news about having Ja Morant here in Memphis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.